Hi, folks, and welcome to the iReady. I'll say that again. Here we go. New Year, same shite.
Right. Derek,
Hello.
You sound like blooming you sound like a robot there, mate.
So do you. 2 seconds. Sorry, that was me getting my tea delivery there.
Oh no, your tea?
My tea.
Miss Helen? Yes, dear? I take sugar in my tea. Oh, your tea! Oh,
as in a cup of tea.
A cup of tea, aye.
All right, I was going to say your tea. You're a bit late for that, you know.
Hello?
Oh, no, you're still breaking up, mate.
I can hear you
fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, aye.
Aye, you're still kind of breaking up there. You sound like a robot.
I'm blaming your shitty fucking Sky internet. So you heard that one?
I did, aye. Oh well, I'll try that then. I'll give that a go.
Aye.
When we get finished this, about 1 a.m. or whatever it is that we're coming up today. Right.
Hi folks, and welcome to the iReady podcast, where unlike the Heart and Hand podcast, we don't have adverts in the middle of sentences.
Exactly, we just have me and you talking utter crap and getting our words wrong, even in the introduction, Derek. See,
exactly.
I can't even speak news. It's been so long since we've done this, we can't talk whatsoever.
Yes. A lot's happened, 9 games, we've had Christmas, we've had New Year, so Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to episode 5 of season 4.
Oh my goodness, right, okay.
Yes, it's been a bit of a mixed bag in terms of results, performances have been a bit average as well, we'll get to that obviously. So we may as well batter on and go down the pitch and, no we won't, we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch.
It has been so long, my God.
I need to write this down the next time.
Definitely. Right.
9 games to cover, Dave.
Oh my God. What's the first game? I can't even think back to the last game. Think back to the last game, unfortunately.
Yes.
Right, on you go.
First game, I don't remember much about it. Saturday the 19th of November, it was a 1-0 win at home to Dundee. All I can really remember of this game is it was pretty much, you know, us the first half were pretty much decent. Couldn't you capitalise on chances? Second half were pretty average, and it taken until the 92nd minute where Forrester had a backwards flicked header into the net. Great wee goal, but you know, leaving it late once again.
Yeah, no, I think we were told to we were told to brace ourselves for games like that. But the Brentford fans, when Mark Warburton was announced, they said that they won a lot of their games in the 90 minutes plus, and we've had a few, but that's certainly it was more relief when it went in, Derek, than anything else that we did score, because as you say, it was the usual. We played pretty decent in the first half, slowed right down in the second half, and but thankfully we got there in the end, because we had quite a few chances to score in the first half and just thought it was going to be another one of the games.
Yep. One other thing I will mention at the end of the game section is about fans leaving, you know, before the 90 minutes are up. But a fantastic atmosphere for the fans that stayed, though. That's the one good thing about scoring a last-minute goal.
Yep.
Next game, Saturday the 26th of November, it was a 2-1 away win to Partick Thistle. Partick Thistle did score in the 76th minute, and we thought, here we go. But Joe Dodoo scored in the 81st minute with a fantastic volley.
Yep.
In the middle of the box. Absolutely fantastic goal. Obviously, G'd up with that one. We thought, oh, we're going to leave it for a draw. Right, then up he pops again. 94th minute winner. Again from Dodu. Shot on the deck inside the box as well. Again, fantastic atmosphere that you've seen on the TV. And another last minute winner.
Yep. The goal that we conceded, Derek, absolute slapstick in defence. It really, really was embarrassing. You know, players bumping into each other. Yeah, Wes Fodringham flapping at the goal. It was really, really embarrassing to watch and quite laughable. At that stage, we hadn't really done anything in the game whatsoever. But either had Partick, to be fair. They had done nothing either in the game. I thought it was going to go 0-0, and then they scored that goal, absolutely calamitous. But to be fair to Dodu, absolutely fantastic volley, the first goal, utter peachy a goal. And then the second one, which wasn't quite as spectacular, but he was as cool as a cucumber, Derek, and just slotted it away. He was under pressure, he had players all round about him, but he took his one touch, found his spot, the bottom corner, and just slotted it in. It was a great goal. I still wasn't getting carried away because we didn't play well at all in that game, Derek. So
no.
I wasn't getting carried away. It was another late winner that we scored. I think a lot of people were getting carried away, especially for Dodu. Everybody was saying he's got to get his game, he's got to get his game, he's got to play him, he's going to be a superstar for us and all of that. But he did start in the next game, but didn't have much an impact at all.
No. I mean, I think I was pretty raging with, especially my friend's WhatsApp group, and I think I said something on Twitter as well, that it, again, two games in a row, just papers over the cracks, and I wasn't happy. I was obviously pleased that we ended up winning and getting the 3 points, but wasn't happy about, once again, leaving it to the last minute, and it just papers over cracks, as we've kind of seen. Certainly, we did see that in the next game anyway. Probably the worst performance we've had all year, and we keep saying that every podcast, mind you, but Wednesday the 30th of November, it was a rearranged game away to Hearts. We lost 2-0. It was just diabolical. No player seemed to want to try whatsoever. Hearts scored on the 44th minute. I think it was Muirhead scored his first goal for Hearts. Dodu did score a screamer with a half volley inside the box. It was ruled offside, and it was an extremely, extremely late call, which is what Mark Warburton was raging about. And it was deemed to be one of our players was off. He was in an offside position, but he was deemed to be interfering with play because he was in the line of sight of.
It was Harry Forrester, Derek.
Aye.
I mean, it was, I'm going to contradict myself like I did with a game after that, which I'll get into later on. I said there that the Dodu didn't have much effect. He didn't, in my opinion. I think that was only one of the very, very few things that he did for us. I thought he was pretty poor, and I know he's just a young guy. It was a great goal, but Forrester was sort of right in front of the goalkeeper, was right in front of there. I know there was a lot of people saying all there, but the way I saw it was the referee says that, you know, he was interfering with play.
Yeah.
I think if that goal had went against us up the other end and they had a score, that we'd have been absolutely raging saying the same thing. So, apart from that, Derek, as you said, we showed absolutely nothing all game. It was really, really powder puff, lackluster. There was nobody in the team that you could that got any pass marks at all, in my opinion. I thought it was really, really poor stuff from us.
I just think in terms of the offside rule, is Celtic had an exact same goal allowed a few games beforehand, and that's, I think, a lot of people on Facebook were raging. And I fully agree that you get things for you get things against you, they kind of balance each other out during the course of a season, but it's this lack of consistency with the refereeing in this country and the linesman, that's what I think pisses you off. So quite rightly, as you said, you've been quite pissed off about it if it was up the other end. So, 6-2 there. Anyway, Hearts scored again on the 60th minute. It was again Muirhead getting his second goal. You know, Hearts, fair play to them. They played the game, they got the result, and, you know, that was it.
They basically just out-muscled us, Derek.
Yeah.
They really out-muscled us. They were sort of first to every ball. They won nearly every header. They sort of barged their way about the game. I won't say that they absolutely destroyed us because they didn't, but they were the hungrier team. and they bossed the game, basically, and we just weren't up for the fight whatsoever, and that's the reason that we got beat.
And Robbie Nielsen was still their manager at this point as well.
So. That's correct, yep, yeah. Right.
Yep, so moving on now from the worst performance of the season so far to possibly the best performance of the season. Saturday the 3rd of December, the day before my birthday, it was a 2-1 win at home to Aberdeen. Now, before the game kicked off, there was a minute silence for the sad passing of our former player, Davy Provan. Immaculately observed, fair play to the Aberdeen fans there. We thought there were going to be a wee bit of issues given their history, but no, they were fantastic with that one. A massive, massive police presence as well. That's probably outside of an Old Firm game, the biggest police presence I've seen at a football game that I've been to anyway. You know, again, that's down to the rivalry. But anyway, we bossed the game from really, you know, start to finish effectively. Miller scored in the 52nd minute and Hodgson scored on the 70th minute. I think that was his first goal he scored for us as well.
That's right, yep. Mm-hmm. That was a great goal by Hodgson as well, to be fair. For a guy that was playing it right back, he was, you know, it was a good finish by him. But as you say, the whole performance was excellent.
Harry Forrester, and we'll get onto the Old Firm game as well, but I was looking through the 90-90 before doing the research for this pod, and he had a carbon copy selfish chance like he had against Celtic there. He did manage to get a shot off in the Aberdeen game, and made the keeper pull off a good save, but there was, I think it was Dodu, who was running in as well, and he had a great chance just to square it, and it would have been another goal, but you know, selfish again. But we'll get onto that chance in a minute.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to finish off the Aberdeen game, Clint Hill did get sent off in the 91st minute for a second yellow card. I can't remember much about the first yellow card, but the second yellow card was a really nothing challenge. I wouldn't even have said it was a yellow card.
Yep.
But he was fantastic in that game, and he actually got a standing ovation going off, which I've never seen that in my puff before.
Yes. No, it was good. His recent performances, he has played really well for us. He came in at that point, sort of steadied the ship for us in defence at that point, and he was starting to rack up quite a good wee partnership with Kiernan in the defence. That looked to be Warburton's sort of favoured pairing in defence at that point, and they were starting to play quite well together.
Yeah. Aberdeen did go pull a goal back shortly after. I think it was a corner that was floated in, and it kind of sclaffed off a couple of players, and just unsighted their defence, just shit defending basically, which is new from our defence. And Aberdeen player did get sent off as well in the 95th minute for his second yellow card offence. It was a bit of a handbags moment inside the box. It went on for a good couple of minutes, and two players got singled out, and it was the Aberdeen player in Wycorn, and the Aberdeen player only had a yellow, so he got sent packing.
Yep, okay.
Next game was Saturday the 10th of December. It was a bloody good performance again. 2-0 win at home to Hearts, and it was Hearts' new manager Ian Cathro's first game in charge.
Yes.
Hearts did score fairly early on in the first half, but it was ruled offside. It was another very late call from the linesman, but certainly we'll take it. Again, these things, these things go for you and go against you. Anyway, of all people, Rob Kiernan scored from a great header from a corner on the 29th minute, and into the second half, Mackay on the 51st minute had good composure in the box and scored a goal very similar to Hodgson's in the Aberdeen game.
That's right, yep. It was a great header by Kiernan, something that we've not seen this season, apart from against us, as you know, really sort of powerful headers for corners and stuff like that. So it was good to see us actually doing that, and to actually no waste any corners, which, you know, we've been doing a lot of as well. It was just straightforward, right into the box. He was there at the right place, right time, battered in. Really good goal. And as you say, for Mackay, a wee bit of composure as well by Mackay running through. And he has been the one sort of shining light for us over the last few weeks. Mackay's played really well.
Absolutely. Next game, Friday the 16th of December, it was a 2-1 win away to Hamilton. Now, I've seen the team sheet and I've seen that Wycorn was getting a very rare start. Mm-hmm. And I just had this wee feeling, and so I put a wee bet on, I think it was £2 on for Wycorn to score two or more goals. Well, yep. What does he do? He scores quality. Two goals.
Do you want to keep doing that every week, mate, if you see him in the team sheet? No.
I've tried, but it's no worse.
No, right.
He scored just before half time on the 45th minute. It was a great looping header all the way from the edge of the box.
It was one of the strangest goals I've ever seen. I mean, and there's no doubting that he meant it. Right. He made his run perfectly, but it was quite low when it came down to him. It was one of the things that he must have thought, do I wait for it to maybe drop a bit more so I can hit it on the volley, or do I just go for it with the head? And luckily for us, that he went for it with the head, because it was, as you say, a long range sort of looping header which was quite low down that ended up in the back of the net. Really quite ingenious stuff from him.
Yep. And then he did score just after half time as well. 52nd minute, it was a great volley inside the box.
Yep.
We pretty much again controlled the game, but we just failed to kill teams off. You always need at least a 3-goal cushion to make sure you're safe. But in the 76th minute, after Halliday giving away the ball once again,
it was a bit of a shocker. Yep.
Stupidly losing possession next to our box, the Hamilton player grabbed it and got the ball in the back of the net. Just fucking stupidity, basically.
Yeah, it was. He kind of fell over the ball, didn't he? He kind of slid on top of the ball and fell on his backside, and they ran through. He'll be absolutely gutted that he did that. But again, sometimes that we feel in these situations right at the end of the game, when you're penned in at a corner, why do you just batter the ball upfield and get somebody? But I know it's not the philosophy that they're playing, they're meant to try and play out of danger, but that's another bit of evidence that something, you should only be using it in certain games. And as you say, we're not killing teams off, but Derek, when was the last time, and I honestly can't remember, you might be able to remind me, jog my memory, when was the last time we scored more than two goals in a match?
I think it was going back to the Cup game. Was it Queen of the South? I think. And I mean, and that's a late, two leagues below us, a league below us.
Yeah.
So
that is the major problem for us. We go on about our defence being put pretty weak, but I actually did think that Kieran and Hill were actually playing not too bad, but our main problem is that we're getting all the possession, we're making a lot of opportunities, and we're just not scoring any goals. We're not killing teams off like you said. And was that the last time that we actually scored more than two goals? Was in the Cup game against Queen of the South?
I think that's the last time I can remember. I mean,
right there, that shows you, Derek, that we've been going on about our defence constantly. We've been going on about beefing up the midfield, but I think when we're looking at the amount of chances that we're making and the very few goals that we're scoring, I think it's showing you that our main priority, or one of his main priorities, should be to bring a striker in there.
Yeah, I mean, well, everybody initially thought Joe Gardner was that striker, but it's turned out that he's busy, but he's no scoring the goals. Sorry, it was 3-0 against Kilmarnock in October. That was the last time he scored.
3-0 against Kilmarnock in October, that which is quite incredible for us.
And then before that, it was the Queen of the South game, 5-0.
It wouldn't be so bad, Derek, if we were packing our defence and playing, three centre halves and two defending full backs, and we were playing like a 5-4-1 formation, and every single game we were just trying to hit teams on the break, you would be expecting results like that. But the fact that we're playing a 4-3-3, we've got, we're playing with wingers, we're making loads and loads of chances, we're actually playing some pretty decent stuff, and getting into positions and we just can't seem to score, it's quite baffling actually.
Yep. And just going back to the Hamilton game there, just to finish it off, we were kind of under the cosh for the last kind of 15 minutes after that goal, and it was worrying stuff. Fortunately,
after cruising the vast majority of the game,
exactly,
and again it comes down to not being able to finish teams off.
Yep. We'll move on to the next game, the third last game here. Saturday the 24th of December, it was a 12:30 kickoff. It was a 1-0 win at home to Inverness. On the 13th minute, it was an OG. It was initially signalled as Wycorn's goal because he'd done all the work, put the cross or the shot, whatever it was, in, and it kind of hit off the Inverness player and in the back of the net. Really nothing else to write home about that game. First thing I said to John, who I go with, was dire. That was a struggle to watch that, because we were just not in it at all. You know, again, a lot of these games we've kind of glossed over, but Wes Fotheringham in every single game has pulled out fantastic saves to keep us in.
You know, to be fair, Derek, we were a wee bit critical of him at the start of the season, weren't we? I think that was one thing we were pondering, is he good enough? Do we have him in? Or do we have Jilks in? But as you say, to be fair, the vast majority, apart from the Partick Thistle game with the goal that we let in there, I think he could have done a lot better there. But apart from that, he's been absolutely outstanding. Some of the saves that he's pulled off, especially in the game against Celtic, you know, he was absolutely fantastic. And as you say, he had some great saves in the Hamilton game, and he played excellent in that game as well, because I sat and watched that game as well and pulled off some fantastic saves for us.
Yep. We'll get on to him after this wee section here, but you know, again, not a lot to write home about, but 3 points, you know, we'll take it given the fact that it was Christmas Eve.
Yes, definitely.
Next game was the midweek game, was Wednesday the 28th of December. It was a 1-1 draw away to St Johnston. Again, started off the game fairly brightly. Mackay on the 23rd minute. It was a great shot parried by the keeper by Mackay. No, sorry, it was a great shot by Gardner. Yes, we'll get that one right. Yeah, I'll not let you forget that one, Dave.
I'll get into that. Okay.
Great shot by Gardner, parried by the keeper. Hit went out to Mackay, who shot in the 23rd minute, scored the goal. And then just after that, 28th minute, a horrendous pass back by Kiernan. I felt Fotheringham could have done a wee bit better by going down to ground and going for the ball, but the Saints player nipped by him and put the ball in the back of the net. That's where it stayed. We a few chances either way. Fotheringham had a few good saves as well to keep us in it. We never really offered much up front, and that was about it. One thing to say just before Dave goes on about his lack of awareness is Kiernan has been offered a 2-game ban for allegedly having punched out at a player. That was done by TV evidence because the referee never picked up on it. On looking at it, he certainly moved his arm in that direction. How they can judge clearly it was a punch or not is beyond me. And it begs the question, how many times has Old Firm been done or has been investigated by TV evidence, yet if it's meant to be the same governing body, the SFA, the SPFL, why are lower league teams not getting judged the exact same way?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you just fart?
No.
All I heard was...
No, I was not. I certainly wasn't.
You've went off.
End of my body anyway, but I feel, Derek, I have to justify making a complete arse of myself on Twitter, or try and justify. Now, for the listeners out there that don't know, and I was... I was put to rights almost instantly by quite a few people on Twitter, and I did feel a bit of a tit, I must admit. But... I want you to picture the scene, Derek, right? Now, it's on the Wednesday, between Christmas and New Year, I had finished my night shift that morning, so I'd had no sleep whatsoever. Me and my laddie were going to sit and watch it on the iPad, so the two of us were sitting watching it together, sort of in between us, and Rangers, there had been a shot at goal. I honestly didn't know who had taken it. I thought it was definitely was Kenny Miller. I says to my laddie, I says, who had the shot that led to the goal? He wasn't quite sure, and I honestly thought, after seeing it in the replays and stuff like that it was Kenny Miller that had the shot there, the initial shot. And then at the final whistle, I was really quite pissed off at Garner, because I thought he'd done absolutely hee-haw all game. Jumped my boot, banging into folk, winning the occasional header up front, and then he had a couple of really good chances in the second half, and he couldn't even get the shot on target. So, of course, I put on Twitter, has Joe Gardner ever had a shot on target ever? And then almost instantly I had about 8 replies telling me that it was Gardner that's shot that led to the keeper saving it to Barry Mackay scoring. So I did feel a bit of a prat because he did have a shot on target in that game. But I will stand by what I said. I'm really, you know, it's been a laugh and a, you know, a good laugh, and everybody's been getting behind them because of the song, which I'm sure you'll get into later on in the pod as well, Derek.
Yep.
But for me, it does very, very little, and I'm not buying this whole thing of, oh, he usually plays as part of a front two and he's more of your traditional centre forward. I'm expecting a striker, if he gets into a position with a ball, to get a shot on target and either score or make the keeper parry it away or whatever. But to me, he's doing none of that. And there's been quite a lot of times that he has been in good positions and he's just, there's been nothing there whatsoever. And I'm really starting to lose patience with him. It's not the guy's fault that we paid £1.8 million. So I'm not getting into that, the fact that we did spend that amount of money. I feel that there are guys that we could have got playing in Scotland for a fraction of the money that could, or I'm pretty sure, would be on a lot more goals than what he has, you know, done for us. And he's there to score goals, Derek. I'm not taking this as well, that he's a great team player and he makes chances and all that. That guy's here to score goals. And he's not doing it. I mean, has he scored? Is it two goals he scored in total for us?
Three
in total for us. And, you know, for a guy playing up front for a team that has a lot of possession and makes a lot of chances, it's pretty pitiful, in my opinion. And I don't think he's doing much for us at all. No. And it'll be now that he's out injured for about 3 months, it'll be interesting to see who does get played in the position that he was getting played, to see how many goals that they're going to get in the next 3 months. And you've only got to look at the likes of Kenny Miller, who comes in and out and in and out but still manages to score goals, Derek. Yeah. Playing in that position, I don't know how you feel about the guy yourself, but I, for one, I'm losing patience with him, and I don't know if you feel the same or not, or if you're one of the people that thinks that his all-round play's been good and he's getting stuck in and he's winning the ball in the air for knockdowns and things like that. Fair enough, but for me, it's just that's no what he's there for, to be honest with you.
No, I think he was bought for scoring goals and he's not delivered in that sense. Now, if you look at his history, though, as a footballer, he's never looked as if he's been an out-and-out goal scorer. He's never been your 20, 25 goal, you know, scorer. I think he scored, like, I'll just get the stats before I make a moan arse myself here.
Just say what I do, Derek, and just say whatever. It doesn't matter.
On that note, by the way, your justification of that, all I really heard was, my 10-year-old laddie didn't ken, so I'm blaming him.
Basically, aye. But
yeah. I mean, if you look at Joe Gardner, he's kind of scoring stats here. You know, he's had one season where he's scored 25 goals and played 37 yep. games. He's had another where he's played 35 and scored 18. But see, the rest of his career, he's never been that out-and-out 20 goal-plus striker a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not your Dembele. And this is what I try to have an argument with a Celtic fan. He's not your out-and-out goal scorer like Dembele clearly is. You know, he's more of a... To me, he's more of trying to be a provider rather than a goal scorer, which is what everybody bought into, we thought we were signing, because that's what we needed. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we never got that, and clearly we never got our defender as well, what we needed.
Well,
so
surely, Derek, that has to go down to the scouting system of us needing a goal scorer, and them not going out and buying a goal scorer.
Yeah.
Which is pretty scary stuff, because, you know, we've been given a lot of praise to, you know, Mr. McParland and the rest of the scouting system out there, but this season's kind of proved that, you know, there's not been that much to cheer about with the signings that we've brought in. And I definitely feel that he could have got a striker in Scotland for a fraction of the money that would be on a lot more goals. The player that screams out for me constantly, and I see him playing for probably the worst team in the Premier League and still scoring goals, is Liam Boyce at Ross County, who is only 25, Northern Ireland internationalist. I mean, Rangers could have went to Ross County and offered them $500,000, and they would have got that guy, and he would have brought in. And I know it's all ifs and buts, Derek, but if he'd have been playing the same amount of games that Gardner has played, I'm positive that he would be on more goals than him, definitely, because he is an out-and-out striker, and he's been proving that in Scotland, playing for the worst team in the Premier League and still scoring goals. So, you know, there is guys out there, you know, that can score goals, but we've just, I don't know, I am losing patience with the guy, and I don't like being that. I like being able to cheer on the players and, you know, a bit of positivity, because you were talking about Harry Forrester there. You know, he's said quite a few times that he's been pretty greedy and he's went for glory himself, but he's obviously got the confidence to do that, Derek. And I didn't mind that, to be honest with you. He's gone for it. Whereas I think if that had been Gardner, his shot would have been past the post, or, you know, it wouldn't have been even been on target if he'd have been in the positions, you know. So it's, as I say, I'm losing patience. I don't know if you're the same, that we should persevere. I know we can't because he's injured at the moment, but if he wasn't, if he should be persevering with him or no, what's your opinion, Derek?
The only thing that really matters is we've got Joey Gardner, we've got Joey Gardner, we've got Joey Gardner.
I'll say one thing, I did buy the track like everybody else did, and I got it as my ringtone like everybody else did. No, I've got that. I'm willing to, you know, to back the guy if he just showed something to us that was willing, but he's just no doing that for me at all.
We'll get into that in a minute anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, next game.
Unfortunately.
Yes, Saturday the 31st of December. It was the big one. It was the apocalypse of the Hogmanay game. We lost 2-1 at home to Celtic. Now, just a wee bit obviously brief before that, the referee got announced, Stephen McLean. Usual cries from the Celtic fans, yep. Claims of bias. His claims, mm-hmm. It said that his brother was an ex-player, Brian McLean, who apparently never even played for us. Well, he was mm-hmm. in their squad but never got a game. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's a season ticket holder. How they know this is beyond me. I did ask a Celtic fan, and he did say, I do have fans from the dark side, you know, so they know. Right, yeah, because how many Rangers fans have came out and said that Stephen McLean's a fucking season ticket holder? Mm-hmm. Usual shit from them. And they obviously never watched the Aberdeen game, who he was the referee just at the Aberdeen game a few games ago. He gave us fuck all.
Aye.
So... anyway,
just the usual pish, Derek. It really is. It's the same crap. We've been hearing it for years and years and years and years. A way back to Hugh Dallas and things like that. We've been listening to it for years. It doesn't matter who referees the game. You could bring in a guy from fucking Outer Mongolia, and they would find some sort of link to Rangers.
No, Brendan O'Leary from Dublin.
Definitely. His great-grandfather was actually a Rangers supporter. We've heard it all before. It'll still go on, Derek. They'll still be doing the same thing in 10, 20 years' time as well. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, there was obviously a minute's silence for the Ibrox disaster. There was obviously a lot of talk about, oh, you know, Rangers are just doing this to show our fans up and all that. Seriously, get a grip if you were mm-hmm. thinking that. Again, typical mindset of them. 99% of fans observed it impeccably. There was one shout of Bobby Sands from what sounded like the Celtic end, and there was one shout of I hope you die, which sounded from the Rangers end. You know, both fucking idiots as far as I'm concerned. You know,
it's definitely
highlighting your idiocy. Yep. And to be honest, it's a sad indictment that we have to praise Celtic fans for actually observing the silence.
Yes. You know,
or it's a sad indictment to praise any fans for any sort of silence. If you're told to shut up for 60 seconds, you know, you do it. You know, simple as human decency, especially for something like that.
Yep, definitely.
Obviously, before the game, there was a lot of talk about, you know, the Rangers roof and all that kind of thing. And, you know, Scott Brown getting in it as well, making wee jibes. And mm-hmm. Our, you know, utter new fucking fantasist, sit on the fence, JJ, whatever his fucking arsehole name is, you know, claiming that he had spoke to important people within, important company within the construction business in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. They've done a report which is, you know, it's not getting made public because they're bigoted and they're tarred with the same sectarian brush. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
It's hilarious. And, I know, it's hilarious.
And bear in mind, there was a hell of a lot of bouncing coming for that stand. Not one bloody instant of anything.
No.
And I'm very surprised that there's not been any pictures of Celtic fans with bolts in their hand or anything like that.
It's actually really... The whole thing about what you said there, the fact that Scott Brown was bringing up a wee joke about it, that shows you how fucking pathetic it all is. And it shows you again, Derek, that we're obviously in their minds, because I don't think you would get any Rangers players making any comments about Celtic Stadium or anything like that, really, you know, even as a wee joke. So in one way it's pathetic, another way it's just showing you that we are the top bill again, that they're all thinking about us. So
anyway, back to the game. Started off, I felt the first 5 minutes we were kind of under the cosh. I felt we never got the grip of the game, and then from there on for the rest of the half we were pretty decent. We did score in the 12th minute with Kenny Miller, a fantastic worked move right across, and then effectively a tap in. Fantastic goal. We were on the ascendancy, and we certainly had more chances.
We certainly did, Derek. Again, though, watching the game, I sat with my boy and my father-in-law as well, and I was telling him, and I said, look, if we can't get another goal before half time, there's no way that we're going to win this match. No chance. And we did. We were in there. As you say, we were by far the better team in the first half. We had all the ball. We were moving forward. We were winning every tackle, playing really, really well, but just couldn't score. We could not score another goal. And that was, again, was their downfall, because in the second half, Celtic came out a completely different team.
Yeah, I mean, Barry Mackay, he's got to be commended for this performance. As you said, he was certainly coming back into a game, showing the player that he really can be. I felt, you know, maybe earlier on in the season, he had been maybe getting overutilised, choosing the wrong option. And he was starting every single game, which I felt, and I still do to an extent, is hindering him. But he's started to change his game, take on players more, change it about the way he's doing things. And he's been a breath of fresh air in terms of going forward. Certainly, you know, he was fantastic in this game. And even in the first half, there was Sage and Jim Baxter in him, where he actually started to play keepy uppy. He had kicked the ball up, lobbed it over one player, lobbed it over the second player, and got cynically taken out. But it was a fantastic piece of skill.
Yeah, no, and you could tell that he was the supremely confident in that game. It's just a pity that there wasn't a few more people, you know, in that mindset in the team. Because as I say, after Celtic scored the equaliser, you just knew that there was that they were going to go on and get another one and that was a really sickening part for us, the fact that we had played so well in the first half and just, you know, same old story, just kind of kill teams off.
Yeah, Celtic equaliser came in the 33rd minute, and it came from another set piece, a corner, and I just felt it as soon as, just before they were taking the corner, this was going to be a goal. And it was Dembele, typical, he's getting like Miller now, scoring against the opposition. But if you look back at it, just what the hell was Wilson doing? He had Dembele, he ran to header the ball, so he ran away from his player, and then as soon as he knew he wasn't getting the ball, he ran back to Dembele, and by that time Dembele had already had the ball in the back of the net. Had he stayed on Dembele, he wouldn't have got that shot away.
Yep, I mean, don't get me wrong, Derek, it was an absolute pile driver of a shot. I mean, he absolutely broke the back of the net with it, because, I mean, it was at a tight angle. It was right above Fordringham. There's no way that he would have saved it. But as you say, if Wilson had just stayed on his man, he wouldn't have got the opportunity to do it. And if we'd have went in at half time 1-0, we might have been able to hold out for a wee while at least. But you just knew as soon as they scored that they were just going to come out in the second half. And, you know, to be fair to them, they were by far the better team in the second half, and they should have really scored a lot more than what they did. We did have a couple of chances, you know, which I'm sure you'll get into. But Celtic, you know, by far had the more possession, they had more shots on target, and Wes pulled off some fantastic saves as well for us. So
Celtic, Sorry, Celtic hit the post. Celtic hit the bar. We hit the post.
That's what I was going to say. Yep.
Aye, there was the chance with Forrester where he's came out and admitted it, that he should have. He's gutted the fact that he never squared it. He tried to take it on himself, but he got tackled, and you know the Celtic fairly got the ball away from him. If he had just squared it, it was you know free for I think was it Dodu?
I think it was.
It was either Dodu or Wycorn just to hit the ball, tap the ball, but into the back of the net. Celtic did score on the 70th minute, and again. It was one of these things you just seen it come. I think it came for a corner and they played it short and then the ball came across and I said to the guy next to me, Kiernan better get fucking tight on his man there. And he drifted, he allowed Sinclair to drift away. Sinclair got the ball at his feet, didn't even have to move, and simple tapping because Kiernan lost his man once again.
It was poor defending, Derek. It really was.
It's the positional play of the defenders that's costing us goals because they're not getting in the right positions and they're not keeping on their men. They're just allowing men to drift about anywhere they want in the box.
It was. I think you actually saw Kiernan turning around and roaring and shouting at Tav.
Aye.
You know, like going absolutely mental, but it's like, no, that was your man. you were the one that moved out of position and then tried to get back again, and you were too slow. So, no, it was dire, Derek, but we really don't have any excuses, to be honest with you. I mean, I know after that, Kenny Miller had that chance. You know, it was a fantastic ball. Was it Andy Halliday that put the ball through for him? Sort of curved ball along the ground, and Miller was in at the back post and he had the shot. Which came off the post as well, which he was really unlucky, which we might have stole, you know, the 2 points, but it would have been us stealing the two points there. And I think that's the bit for me that I was so depressed and annoyed about again, was that we didn't seem to have it in us to score another goal, especially in the first half. I thought we were excellent in the first half and we just couldn't get another goal at all. No matter what we did, we couldn't do anything. And we weren't really posing much a threat up front either to them, which was quite worrying as well. Because I don't think that they're in any great shakes, Derek. I really don't. But he's went out, he's been able to spend money. He's bought in players that, you know, can raise their game in the big matches, and we just don't seem to have that.
No. I mean, I think that's... I came away from the game not really too disappointed for two reasons. Because, one, I was kind of expecting to get beat anyway. Because I don't think that it was the worst we've ever played. I think we could have quite easily got the draw out of that, at least. And I've seen some sort of... There has been... I would have said an improvement in the team since the first Old Firm game this year. You look at, you know, you discount the cup semi last year because that was an entirely different circumstance. The first game we lost 5-1. We had about two chances in the whole game. We played utter guff. The second game, we only lost 1-0, but it was, you know, we never offered anything up front at all. I think we had one shot on target. Whereas this game, we had the beating of Celtic for at least 30 minutes of the game, and we contained them to an extent, although we did ride our luck a wee bit with off the post, off the bar, and Fotherham being good. But that's what you need to do sometimes. So I felt we could have got something out of the game, and that's the kind of crux of the matter for me. Bear in mind, I'll have a wee stat for you that's been put out on Twitter. We are now, obviously, with Joe Gardner getting going out, he got a shoulder, dislocated shoulder in the Celtic game, he's out for 3 months. We are now effectively trying to get second in this championship, in this premiership, with the championship team. You look at the players who we've brought in this year, and you look at how many's injured. We've got Gardner injured, we've got Rossiter injured, we've got Cranshaw injured, we've got Joey Barton's away. The only player that's really... we've got Crooks is, you know, he's never getting his game. No. We've got Windass, who's constantly injured. The only really main starter is Clint Hill.
Only other player that he's brought in, I think, is Dodu as well, who, you know, is like a bit part player for us as well. So if you're talking about regulars, it really is. It really is just Clint Hill, isn't it? Because even the likes of... what's his name? Hodgson. He's a bit part player in the team as well. So, you know, the only regular I think, you know, we spoke about it in the last thing, the whole Joey Barton thing has really screwed us this season. A player that we really did think was going to make a huge difference to the team, and then that happened, and the same with Cranshaw getting injured. So, it's an interesting point that you've put. We've basically, apart from maybe one regular player, got a championship team for last season. I think it's put pretty evident in certain games, Derek, that we need a bit more class in midfield. Steadier defence, but like I said before, a striker is a must. It really is. And the what I'll get into later, because I'm not going to do the classic match this week, but being January, I thought I would look through all the players that we've been heavily linked with over the last few weeks, and every single one of them is a midfielder. So it's quite worrying. I've got one that's no a midfielder, one that's a striker, but I don't think we'd be too happy about it.
Spoilers.
No, right.
I mean, that last fact, that last stat there, I'll attribute that to Greg Cole, because it was him who put that out. Second one here is an interesting thing as well, and it just shows you that in terms of finances, there is a massive gulf. Is the team that started against Celtic cost us £2.5 million. Bearing in mind, Joe Gardner was between 1.5 and 1.8 of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The team that started for Celtic against us, it cost them £17.5 million.
Yeah.
You know, that just shows you the gulf in finances there. And apparently, I was listening to the new Heart and Hand podcast there. They were quite rightly said that we never got Dembele for the sake of £500. We never got Dembele for the fact that he's on £40,000 a week.
Yeah.
And we can't afford to pay that kind of wages, which is until, I mean, this is where the main fact of the whole show us the £30 million, Dave, can a group come from, is until we get this monkey offer back of Mike Ashley and Sports Direct, we will not be spending a lot of money on players.
Yeah, it's...
You're rustling again.
I know, sorry, again, I was scratching my head. Again, the thing that we've got to go back to is I still think the money could have been spent wiser.
Yeah,
I really do. I think if they were to concentrate their coaching in this country, I think that we could find some, you know, quality players. And I know that he's brought in a lot of people that are just supposed to be, you know, the gems from, you know, the lower leagues of England. These guys don't have any links to the club. And I don't mean that badly, but I think if you were to go out and sign an 18, 19-year-old from Scotland, who I'm not even saying is a Rangers supporter, but the chance to sign for Rangers would be huge. And if they got their chance to play in the team, you know, maybe I don't think try harder, but the mindset would be there, Derek, I'm now playing for Rangers and this is, you know, absolutely incredible. So maybe their mindset would be slightly different as well. I just feel that maybe the scouting system's not quite as good as what we've all been thinking it was, and maybe we should be looking at closer to home rather than, you know, the lower end of the English league. I don't know what you think of that.
Yes, we'll get onto it again when you do your section, but there seems to be too much of a link to Brentford all the time.
Yeah,
it has to have already played with or have been in the company of Warburton and McParland, so we need to get away from that mindset. I just want to finish off this section here anyway. In terms of games that the league table, we've played 21, won 11, drawn 6, lost 4, scored 28, let in 21, goal difference plus 7. And points 39. We're 19 behind Celtic, who've also got a game in hand. 2 points ahead of Aberdeen, who also have a game in hand, and we're 8 points ahead of Hearts. Now, just on that one stat, it is unheard of us to have a single figure goal difference come 21 games into the season. That is kind of what both of us have been saying. The lack of goals is killing us. You look at every single Premiership game this year, with the exception of Kilmarnock, we have not scored more than 3 goals. It's all been 1 goal, 2 goals. That's it. We've only scored multiple goals when it's been the cup games, which are lower league teams.
And again, as I say, this I've said before, this is a criticism of Garner with the price tag. But you would like to think if we were spending £1.5 million on a striker, we would be getting a much better return for that money. And I know it's no Garner's fault that that's how much it cost. I just feel that we could have done that in Scotland and got, you know, a much better goal scorer and somebody scoring a lot more and, you know, a much better end product than what we have with Garner. But
again, I know it's only 1.5 million, but in this day and age, especially yes. for a Scottish team, is massive. But yep. again, it goes down to the fact that you spend money doesn't always get you a good player. So all these people that are clambering on Dave Kite to get the fucking purse out, you know, it's not always the answer. You need to nurture yep. a lot of players, and you know that's what Murray Park's been brought in for. We've got a lot of players, and Warburton signed a lot of players, which we're not going to see the fruits of until maybe about 2 or 3 years down the line. He's brought mm-hmm. them in as a longer term thing, with probably the vision that he'll never get to see them in the first team because he'll be probably away by that point. Right. So, you know, that's you've got to look. I mean, I'm talking about your Jordan Henderson, I think his name is. Yep. You've got your Liam Burts, who's, fair enough, he's started on the bench, you know, a couple of games and came on as a sub. And you've got this young 15-year-old, but they're players for 3, 4, 5 years down the line.
Yeah.
Are you talking
about the young guy from Northern Ireland that was signed for the Liverpool Academy, Derek?
Oh, I can't remember. There was one Man United guy as well. I think that was Jordan Henderson.
No, I don't think it's Henderson. No. It's that's terrible. Jordan Henderson plays for Liverpool, doesn't he?
Well, we'll just kind of go over the up and coming games. We've got 2 games in January and 4 games in February. Obviously, the winter break is happening. We've obviously got against RB Leipzig.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up.
Leipzig,
mm-hmm. yep, that's in the break. Back to domestic, as we've got Saturday the 21st of January, it's at home to Motherwell in the Scottish Cup 4th round. That's a 12:30 kickoff. The next game in the league is Saturday the 28th of January. That's away, and it's also to Motherwell. Again, it's a 12:30 kickoff, so likely to be on TV as well.
Okay.
Wednesday the 1st of February, it's away to Hearts in the Premiership. That's a 19:45 kickoff, again probably on TV. Saturday the 4th of February, at home to Ross County in the Premiership. Sunday the 19th of February, away to Dundee in the Premiership. And Friday the 24th of February, away to Inverness in the Premiership, which is a 19:45 kickoff as well. Now, given the fact that both Dave and myself, not together, are going on holiday, we'll probably not get round to the next pod until after the Inverness game. So,
you've been holiday, Derek? That's shocking.
Aye, I know. It makes a change, eh?
The young guy that you were on about is Jordan Thompson.
Jordan Thompson, that's it.
Yep, that was it. That was annoying me there. That's who we're talking about. As you say, a prospect as well, no, somebody that we're expecting to be in the first team. But anyway, as you say, we're both away on holiday. You're away the first week to Tenerife, and then you come back, and then I go to Tenerife as well. So
yes.
Something to look forward to, Derek.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Just finishing up the kind of on the pitch stuff here. People leaving at the end of the game, it's been a big bugbear of a lot of Rangers fans for some time now. And to an extent, I don't have an issue with it. If you want to leave for whatever reason, especially if you've got young kids or you have to leave for a specific reason, I have no issues about that. If you leave, that's up to you. However, it's when you are going for, you're playing against your rivals and you've got everything to play for. One kick of the ball could change it like it could have or the Old Firm game there, you know. You're leaving and with there was about 10 minutes to go and there was about a quarter of the stadium gone.
I know. Derek, I got my season ticket away back in 1992 and I had it up until what, about 5 years ago, and it was happening that whole time when I had my season ticket as well. So you're talking, you know, 30 odd years just about that it's been happening, and probably before that as well. I'm afraid that's there's a lot of guys that just don't stay right to the very end. I mean, God, I know guys that the vast, you know, a lot of them would only come and watch the first half, and then they would go to the pub for the second half. You know what I mean? It's it does seem to be a big thing at Ibrox, and like you said, I honestly don't know why. I know the traffic can be a nightmare, the positioning of where Ibrox is, getting back onto the motorway and everything can be an absolute nightmare as well. And there has been maybe once or twice all the years that I've had to leave early as well, to get back to car, and it doesn't really make much difference because you're still stuck in a huge traffic jam anyway to get out. So it doesn't matter. And I think the emphasis on the fact that the one thing that Mark Warburton does do for the team is we do seem to keep fighting right to the end, and we still do make the odd chance, and we've scored a few goals right at the end of matches as well. You would think folk would realise that, but it's the same old story, Derek. There is a lot of people at Ibrox that do leave earlier, and it'll go back. We'll still be saying that again 5-10 years time as well. It'll still be the same. I don't know why. I really don't know why, but it was the same when I was going as well.
I think that the subway plays a big part in it, because it's, I mean, I used the subway a few games ago, and it's not great, especially if the weather's bad, but the queues goes down a lot quicker than it used to. Mm-hmm. But the Gyrodome doesn't have the same issue like that, because there's no a subway about there, so you know, they don't have that issue about trying to queue up for that. They've got other means to go, so it's maybe a help and a hindrance as well. Next thing, just about fans as well, is a lot's been said lately about the atmosphere. Now, we did you know, mention a thing about Nicky Law saying the atmosphere at Ibrox was bad sometimes and they only cheer at certain points, and we never did address that, and as much because we got onto the fact that he's more of a fanny than anything, but he is correct to a great degree, to be honest. Sometimes the atmosphere in Ibrox is flat, and sometimes the atmosphere is absolutely buzzing. You know, it's obviously the Old Firm game and all that kind of thing. One thing that people keep going on about is, let's get safe standing in, let's get that, because that'll create the atmosphere. So standing up creates a better atmosphere. I don't see that myself.
No.
We already know there's no point arguing about trying to get the club to do safe standing. Celtic are doing a 3-year trial with this. Then it'll be up to the SFA to decide whether other clubs get it or not. I can't see us going on the back of that. And I think Rangers have already came out and said that club in the East are already trialling it. We'll see what the outcome is with them. I just don't see it. I mean, I've got a bit of a bad back, so I need to sit down. So I'm going to lose my season ticket if, you know, the West Enclosure, which is where everybody wants to see standing to go, gets put in place. You know, that's no right either. So, you know, I think a lot of it as well is to do with the lack of knowledge about what songs can and can't we sing, what can we can't do. There's a lot being said over the years, the fact that you're not even allowed to stand up a lot of the time at football grounds and, you know, raise your voice and things like that because the stewards are on at you. A lot of it's to do with that, and I think a lot of it's to do with, over the years, we've been absolutely pilloried about what songs we can and can't sing. And still, the authorities, both police and SFA, haven't come out and said what exactly can and we can't sing. Yeah. Billy Boys has been banned for the sake of one word. Well, what if we change the words? You know, up to our knees in Arab blood, up to our knees in air blood, it's the same connotation, just a different word. But you know, the Dundee United fans and the Kilmarnock fans get to sing that.
That's right, yeah. And as I say, we hear the Kilmarnock fans singing all the time, albeit they changed the word Billy to Killy. But as you say, that I've heard them singing it numerous times, and when we play them, they sing it. And it's blamed on us singing the Billy Boys when it's actually been the Kilmarnock fans singing the Killy Boys. But that's to be expected when it comes to us, because there's people looking to shoot us down, you know, in flames as much as they possibly can, you know, the slightest wee thing. So, and I'm actually sure that your pal Tom English actually looks forward to Rangers playing Kilmarnock so that he can blame the Rangers fans for singing the Billy Boys when it's not even them that's singing that. So, actually, wait on it now when we play Kilmarnock for Tom English to come away with a comment like that. And you just know that it's the Kilmarnock fans that are singing that as well. Whether it adds to it or not, Derek, I don't know. If, you know, there's certain fans hear them singing that, then they'll sing, you know, the Billy Boys. I don't know, but I've heard that umpteen times, and we get blamed for it, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of enough about the games. Now we will go down. No, we won't. We will go into the Blue Room.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure you've already heard that the result was 85%.
So yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! So, I mean, absolutely.
I love you. I like your
veins. Right, Dave, just a couple of bits and pieces here to cover in the Blue Room. Obviously, we had the accounts announced, I think we mentioned that in the last one, and we had the AGM as well. Now, there was 11 resolutions put up, and, you know, I think 10 of them were just about re-electing board members. All 10 of them passed. The 11th one was about, I don't know all the ins and outs, I'm not a shareholder myself, so I don't know.
I was hoping that you were going to clarify all this for me, Derek, because aye, I was a wee bit lost with it all, especially with the whole Ally McCoist thing. I don't know if that's what you're going to be getting into or no, but I was a bit sort of bamboozled by
it
all.
The way I read it was, resolution was 11 was the right for the board to issue shares without having to, basically allowing anybody to buy shares without having to give effectively first dibs to existing shareholders, etc. It would have meant that existing shareholders in a new share issue, their shares would have been diluted, whereas this way it doesn't. So I think people never, there was X percentage already were part of the Easedale and Ashley block, and I think that makes up about 20% or something like that. Then there was another 5% on top of that. I might have got that totally wrong. It was all to do with shares. It would have, from what I read into it, it would have been a vehicle to basically dilute down Mike Ashley and the opposing people's shares, so that we have more control over it. So Mike Ashley's 9.9% could have been diluted down to 7%, etc. Yep. Obviously, that never passed. Now, the big thing that came out, or we don't know if this is the case or not, but apparently McCoist and another former director who were given shares, who had previously proxied shares in the votes, they never bothered to proxy or never bothered to vote. And then that vote obviously failed by less than a percent. So, read into that what you will. Nobody knows the answer, I don't think. I don't know what it means. I think there was pros and cons for both it passing and failing. Obviously, the pros for it failing was the fact that obviously existing shareholders like the fans group don't get diluted, so they keep the same. But again, the negative on it not passing was obviously we don't dilute down, you know, the Easedale and the Ashley block. That's the way I read into it anyway. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. We just need to deal with it as and when. Obviously, there's still legal battles going on with Mike Ashley as well, trying to get, you know, contracts null and void and things like that. It's, as we keep saying every single pod, it's the retail deal that's hindering us the biggest.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Well, I mean, that's a huge money maker for us, and we just can't access it at all.
To be honest, we've went over it that many times. I don't want to get into it again, but anyway, other than that, the AGM was really quick. It was painless, little fuss. Warburton wasn't really given a hard time over, you know, poor performances to that point. Dave King wasn't really given a hard time about the whole thing about I'll put £30 million on my kids' inheritance and all that kind of shite, which is good. I'm glad they never, and I think there's a lot of the realist fans out there see that for what it was. It was a stupid comment that he was made, but nowhere did he mention that money was directly for players. It's to deal with everything to the club, and you know, everybody should know by now, Ibrox, Murray Park were in fucking disarray. There was, you know, we had no training facilities, we had training facilities, but we had no structure there, we had no youth setup, we had no scouting system, to an extent we still don't, but
no.
We're getting all this set up now, which is a lot where the money goes for. Next thing, really, is it's came to light that Mike Ashley purchased the rights to the Rangers Megastore outside Ibrox on a 10-year lease for the costly sum of £1.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Well, it's no unbelievable anymore. It would have been in normal circumstances, but it's not unbelievable now after everything that we've heard about what's been done in these deals. Just really quite sad. We've been, you know, sold down the Swanee as it would be by people wanting to make a quick buck and really no giving two shits about the club. So really quite embarrassing for us when we look at that, and it's incredible. You know, we really do hope that certain people are held accountable for everything that's went on, but it's just taken so long. And I know we don't want to get into it, but it's just laughable again, Derek. It really is.
It's going to be legal fight after legal fight for years, I think, to come. So,
yep.
Saying that, Dave King did say about 6 months ago, he says, you know, what that he expects that to be all sorted out this time next year. So hopefully by the start of next season, we've got some progress in it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next thing was, and the last thing here, don't want to delve into it too much, but old school administrators David Whitehouse and Paul Clark are apparently suing the police and suing legal chiefs over their failed fraud prosecution. I don't really want to delve into that too much. Obviously, there's legal proceedings there, but, you know,
It's just laughable, Derek.
As far as I'm concerned, is it not a case of, if a perceived crime has been committed, the police investigate, they bring charges. Charges are only ever brought to you if the fiscal say that they've got enough evidence then to bring them. If it then gets thrown out in court, that is then the fiscal who have not brought enough evidence to the table on the back of what the police have found out, or the other people who are investigating have found out. And if a judge then throws it out, says that you've no case to answer for, then that's called due process in the legal terms. I don't know. That's just me. But
yeah.
That kind of rounds up the off-field antics in the boardroom for just now.
Okay.
We'll move on now and we'll go to the news.
From ITN, the ITV News at 10 with Trevor McDonald.
Right, Dave, so you've said that we've got a fair few transfer rumours.
Aye, I thought because we are now at the start of January, the transfer window is now open. As usual, there's been a lot of mental links out there. I don't know if you've seen it was Robin Van Persie at the last transfer window, which is quite unbelievable this time. It's Berahino of West Brom that we've been linked with, but I've only seen that on a couple of sites. But, I mean, we couldn't even afford an eighth of that guy's wages, never mind getting him in, on loan or whatever. So, I mean, that was the first sort of mental one I heard. The one thing that I did write down at the time, I was doing this afternoon, and I could see that there has been an official approach, is for Arsenal's attacking midfielder John Torral. Did you see that one, Derek?
I did, yeah.
This is a guy, he's only 21 years old. He was a Barcelona youth player, and he's joined Arsenal in 2011. And he's had, surprise, surprise, a loan spell at Brentford in 2014, where he played 34 appearances and 6 goals. He then went on loan to Birmingham, and apparently he was even better at Birmingham. They thought really, really highly of him. He had 36 appearances and 8 goals. And then this year he went to Granada back in Spain, where he's not really played that many games, only played 5 matches. But I can see that we have made an official approach for him. He's an attacking midfielder, like I said. Apparently quite a good player, Derek. I don't know much about him, but certainly stats. He's played a lot of matches for a 21-year-old in the Championship in England. Scored quite a few goals from midfield as well. So, I mean, that could be quite a good signing for us. Other players that we've been linked with, though, and there has been quite a lot of them, and I don't know how many you've seen, doing the rounds last night, and one that I would be really happy with, Derek, is Hamilnaki's midfielder Ali Crawford. Did you see that one?
I did, and I think that's been started by Greco.
Really?
Do you know, because I think one of the papers had a screenshot of Twitter, and it was his Twitter tweeting to Ali Crawford. Is that his name, Ali Crawford?
Yes,
tweeting that to Ali Crawford, saying it's about time you come home. I think that's what the one that I seen.
Right, okay.
And they've kind of picked up on that. So
right, okay.
This is where, see, until the club confirm anything,
I know.
Just don't believe anything.
This is, as I say, these are all just rumours that I've picked up on, mate, over the last sort of few weeks of players that we've been linked to. But Ali Crawford's certainly there. He's 25 years old, over 200 appearances for Hamilton Accies, 29 goal Chelsea midfield. He's certainly a player that always looks really good any time that we've played against him. So I would be quite happy if that one did come true. The next one that we've been heavily linked with, another ex-Brentford midfielder, is 25-year-old player Jota. I don't know how you pronounce it. Played for Brentford 47 times, 11 goals. He was a Celta Vigo player till 2014, and then he signed for Brentford. Another attacking midfielder, obviously another player that played under Mark Warburton when he was at Brentford. I don't know if you know much about him either, Derek, but we've been heavily linked with him. There's been a lot in the papers about us apparently going for him, but I don't know how true that is as well. But do you know anything about him?
No, not a jota.
Another attacking midfielder, though. And again, another player that we were linked with as well that I saw was Leeds United midfielder, 27-year-old Luke Murphy. You heard of this guy before, Derek?
No.
Again, another midfielder, over 100 caps for Leeds United, 21 goals. He's apparently coming to the end of his contract, a player that we were linked with. Also, moving on, over the last week, another player, again, heavily linked with, is the Barnsley captain, Conor Hourihan. You heard of him?
No.
No.
Lieutenant.
This again, was in three newspapers, and there was a online reports as well with regards to this guy. He's the, as I say, he's a Barnsley captain, 25-year-old. Again, over 100 appearances for Barnsley. He scored the winner at the weekend there. I think Barnsley was at Sheffield Wednesday or somebody were playing. It was him that scored. He played in the under-21s for the Republic of Ireland, midfielder, 27 goals. Again, moving on to one that I heard, but just locally though, Derek, believe it or not, this was in local paper, as of course everybody knows, I stay in Falkirk, and there was a few whispers about this young guy that Falkirk have basically just brought into their team. He's only 17-year-old. His name's Tony Gallagher. He's a left back. Now, this guy, I think, is really sort of highly thought of at Falkirk. And he's also been put in the sort of top sort of 30 players, Scottish players that are going to make a big impact this season. I don't know if this guy's maybe been seen as a replacement, or people are thinking he'll be a replacement for Lee Wallace, but he certainly, I spoke to one of my mates today actually, who's a Falkirk fan, and he says he's been outstanding. He's not played a lot of games for Falkirk, as I say, he's only 17, but he says he looks an absolute quality player. He's came up through the Forth Valley Academy, which is pretty recent stuff, but they're starting to get the fruits, you know, see the fruits of that. Another player, some players that we do know and we have heard about that keep rearing their ugly heads, especially these two, Stephen Naismith and Kyle Lafferty. I don't know if you've seen that again, Derek, could crop them up.
I've seen Lafferty, but not yep. Be nae shame can get to fuck.
In my opinion, the two of them can get to fuck, because the two of them are exactly the same circumstances, the way they were so-called diehard Rangers fans and fucked off in our hour of need. But going on the two of them, Lafferty's about the only one out of all these players that's an actually, you know, an out-and-out striker. He's basically a Norwich player, but he's not really had many games for Norwich. He was on loan at Rizespor in Turkey, where he scored 2 goals in 14 appearances, and he's now, I believe, on loan at Birmingham, but he's only had about 6 appearances for them, scoring 1 goal. There was a bit of a Twitter debate the other night. There was quite a few people what were voicing their opinions, and a guy from Northern Ireland who basically said, you know, Rangers daft, but I for one would take him back in an instant, because I see him playing the way he plays for Northern Ireland. He's 100%, he's always a goal threat, and he's the type of player that we would want at Rangers, but I certainly wouldn't be happy about him coming back to Rangers. He has apparently said to quite a few people that it was the worst mistake he'd ever made was leaving Rangers, but he gets no sympathy for me at all. As you say, Stephen Naismith, undoubtedly a fantastic player, but undoubtedly should have stayed at Rangers even for a couple of months and then, you know, done the proper thing that if he really wanted to move, make sure we got some cash for him. But he didn't. He moved on, and then there was the whole thing with his agent coming out and saying that, you know, Stephen's opinion that it's not the same Rangers anymore and they died. I mean, there's no real Rangers fan out there would come away with that at all. So for me, I would be absolutely gutted if he did re-sign for us. I would be really annoyed. But those are some of the players. The only other one, and as I say, I think this is just another shot in the dark by quite a few people because he's not getting his game at the moment, is Charlie Adam, who's doing at Stoke. I don't know what he's got left in his contract down there, but again, I think he would be on. He's highly thought of down in England, Charlie Adam. There's quite a lot of managers down there that would want him in their team, so I really think if it came down to money, we would stand absolutely no chance of signing him. But I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Nine players that I've picked up that we've been linked with over the last sort of few weeks with the transfer window opening, but there's really only maybe about three of the players that I reckon that we could maybe have a realistic chance of having playing for us, but probably on loan. And as I say, it's the guy Terrell, the guy Jota that we've been linked to heavily, and possibly the guy from Barnsley, Conor Hourihan. There's been a lot of talk about him, but all three of these guys are all midfield, Derek, and we have said we would like another quality midfielder, but I still think it's a striker that we're crying out for.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of other rumours, as I said, I just take it with a pinch of salt. I don't even listen to it, to be quite honest.
I actually quite like it, Derek, because it does give you a wee bit of hope, I think. So I'd quite listening to it, and certainly when I'm at work, I've been talking to quite a few guys that are Rangers fans at work about players that we've been linked with, and they've been telling me about players we're linked with. So it maybe is fantasy a lot of it, Derek, but it does keep a lot of folk going, and it gives you a wee bit of hope that we're still getting linked to certain players and all of that.
I mean, at least it's that kind of stuff rather than, you know, on the next, like it was a few years ago, the next off-field scandal. You know, that's the
exactly.
Good thing. I mean, as I said, I take it with a pinch of salt. I just ignore that a lot of the time, and I think a lot of that came from the fact that we got bookies to suspend betting on RVP coming to Rangers on the back of a few tweets, you know.
Yeah, I know.
That's how much you can read into these stories and tabloids these days.
But again, it was hilarious at the time because there was a lot of people from the other side of the city that were getting an absolute flap about it. So just to see them getting annoyed, it was well worth it, Derek.
Right. Just in relation to another couple of players here, Lewis McLeod, he's just signed a new deal at Brentford. I know player that I would have liked to see back.
Definitely, Derek. He was, out of all the bad times that we had when we were down in the lower leagues, he was the one shining light, the one player who probably right now is the type of player we're crying out for, you know, a goal scoring midfielder that can really go forward and take a game by the scruff of the neck. He was a phenomenal player. He's had a lot of injuries though, Derek, to be fair to him, but good luck to him. I'm hoping he was one I had high hopes for, and he's still only young though, Derek. He can only be what, about 22, 23, so something like that at the moment. Yeah.
Next one here is there's rumours that Matt Crooks might go out on loan, which is maybe a good thing. And also as well, again, paper talk, Newcastle and Derby are interested in Josh Windass as well. So, you know, certainly Windass, if he can stay, you know, injury free, he's got a promising future ahead of him. And the best it is, Matt Crooks was meant to be the better of the two.
That's right, and I think when you saw him and you saw the size of him as well, Derek, he looked, you know, a big guy, and aye, you thought maybe this is the sort of answer, you know, the defensive problems, you know, even if he was to sit in front of the defence, you know, would maybe stop a lot of attacks. But I don't know what it is, Derek. I mean, he is, I know he's back to full fitness, but the manager just doesn't seem to fancy him in the team, so...
Yeah.
And we've not got a lot of options in midfield, Derek. So at the moment, you would think that he would be trying to utilise that. But I don't even know what his favoured position is, because, you know, when we came in, we were told he was either a defender or a midfielder. So I still don't know what his preferred position would be. But I would certainly, if he was there, I'm surprised he's not had more of an opportunity in the team.
I think this is the one thing that's annoying me, and I think annoying a lot of fans, is a lot of these players are there, they seem ready, and they're not getting the proper run out. I mean, they were given the likes of Michael Halloran a run out, and he played two good games, then he's been shit the rest of it. Crooks is there, he's just not getting his game. And what's weird is something that came out in the time since the last pod as well, that Harry Forrester was playing games, and I think he played about two or three games, and he played fantastic, played out his skin. Then he was dropped for a couple of games, and then it transpired that Warburton came out and said it was, well, he wasn't playing well and he wasn't down in training, but he was playing well in the games. So what's the more important thing here, showing good in training or showing good in the games?
Yeah, no, I don't know if that maybe just comes down to, I don't know, cockiness on the part of Forrester, where he maybe thinks, oh well, you know, I've got this, I don't need to train quite as hard because I know that when I go out I'm going to be one of the better players and I'm going to make a difference. I don't know if it maybe complacency's came into it or no, and it's maybe just Mark Warburton saying, you know, or trying to bring him back down to earth with a bump. But he's certainly a player, I think, as you know, we've said it before, a player that should be playing in the team. Because he can score goals as well as create goals, but it's a baffling one. That's a pretty strange.
Yeah. Right, just a few other stories here. We've got it was confirmation that the mutual termination of Joey Barton contract. No details of the payoff. However, the papers are saying it's in the region of £250,000. He's been full of praise for us since leaving as well, and he even tweeted before the Old Firm game, "Come on, you Blues," or words to that effect. So I don't know if Man City were playing that day. he was apparently also issued a one-game ban for betting, a one-game ban by the SFA for all the bets he put on. He was apparently re-signing for Burnley now. However, he's just been charged by the FA for placing over 1,300 bets over a 10-year span.
Huffed.
baffling.
Aye, that's a credible amount, right enough, and it'll no be for £2 here and £1 there, Derek, you know what I mean?
But a sad news here, as we mentioned before, Rangers Hall of Famer Davy Provan died after a long illness. Played over 250 times and scored 11 goals for us. So
really sad, but again, it was a fitting tribute to the Rangers fans. You know, the minute silence was impeccably you know, held by both the home and away fans, so it was a good, I know, another sort of fitting tribute by us again, which I would expect nothing more from us. You know, it's always impeccably held by the Rangers fans, and you know, it was a pretty sad day. As you say, I really a legend at the club.
Yep. Another bit of a shocker here, and another sad piece of news, obviously, that Daniel Prodan died of a heart attack aged 44.
Yeah. That was a strange one as well. I couldn't quite believe that when I read that.
No, I mean, certainly, obviously, he was deemed a dud here, but that, there was obviously circumstances where we were misled in terms of his fitness, and we never done proper checks, and he never played a game for us. But certainly, all the tributes from all the former Rangers players that came out said, you know, he was fantastic in the dressing room. He just got on with his, you know, his rehabilitation. He was always lively and things like that. So, obviously, a sad, you know, it's just a ridiculous age.
A shocker, definitely. Yep.
A bit more cheery news here, and as we mentioned, the Joey Gardner song, that was just some of the best piece of Twitter news ever. It really was. It just came out of nowhere. In the space of 12 hours, it went from 169 in the iTunes charts to top. It then topped the Amazon charts, then ended up being number 31 in the charts overall, and obviously there was a big push to get it to you know, Christmas number one. It had the whole of media going mental over it.
It was the coverage that it got, Derek, was incredible. It was on Sky News, it was on Radio 1, as well as all the Scottish charts shows. It was all over the internet. It was absolutely incredible. And the highlight for me were the two ladies outside Ibrox at Sky Sports News interviewed, and they were singing it. Absolutely hilarious.
You are free, you'll always be mine, cause we've got Joey Garner, we've got Joey Garner, we've got Joey Garner.
And the amount of Celtic fans that got so upset about it was absolutely incredible. How something like that can get so many people pissed off have them absolutely raging. You know, a song, nothing to do with them. They couldn't blame it on sectarianism or anything like that. It was just, you know, a classic old song brought together by Rangers fans singing about a player. And they were going absolutely mental about it, Derek. They really were. It had them totally foaming at the mouth, and I still don't know why. It was hysterical how it went on, and it showed again that we are the main talking point in the whole Scottish football. It's incredible.
It was the whole of Britain, because it made, you know, main national news. Yep. It was a fight between the Joey Gardner song and Little Mix for Christmas number one. And they had all the Little Mix fans absolutely raging about it as well. And Greco was just unbelievable. He was putting tweet out right, left and centre. And he'd done a couple of Photoshop ones where it was Little Mix and you know, Joey Gardner involved as well. The funniest one
that I've seen, and I'm sure it was Greg Coe again, was the Little Mix song "Shout Out to My Ex EX," but he changed it, and it was pictures of Little Mix with Alec McLeish, and it was "Shout Out to My Ex." Absolutely brilliant stuff. As you say, for it to go viral like that so quickly just because of the Rangers supporters was brilliant. And like I said, I bought the song on iTunes. I bought the song. I'm sure it's still my ringtone at the moment. I don't know, because I can't remember the last person that ever phoned me my mobile right enough. But we did do it. I just wish that he would start producing for us on the pitch, Derek, because the amount of support that the guys got is incredible.
Yep. Next story here, the Rangers sleep out. I think they had about three or four nights where people camped out in Ibrox, raised £52,000 for the Rangers charity foundation. Brilliant. Looks a good thing and worthy cause as well. A bit of a strange one here. Martin Wycorn confronted by a schoolboy who called him shite as he walked by. Wycorn then went up to him and said, "Say it to my face then." That was maybe a Geordie accent, by the way.
Was it? I thought that was your Arnold Schwarzenegger again, mate.
See it to my face then. Jeff! Jeff! Me eyes!
Do you know what you actually sound? You sound like Rastafarian.
Jamaican man.
Yeah, okay, good.
Jamaican man.
See, that's Jordy.
Wait till you do my Welsh accent.
Please don't. You're desperate. I can tell, absolutely desperate.
Anyway, getting back to this story.
Right, when you go, I just, Martin Wycorn getting abused for a school child.
The whole thing was quite bizarre, and obviously folk were, the schoolboy's friends were filming it and all that kind of thing, and you know, he probably shouldn't have really went up to the boy, he should have just walked on, but it just shows you that, you know, folk are full of piss and vinegar, and then when it comes to it, they can't say nothing, so, but...
Yeah.
He should have just walked on, to be honest, but it was quite funny.
I know, he should have just ignored them, right enough, because it was just only going to be bad publicity for him regardless, so just keep your head down and keep walking and laugh at them, because you know that you're getting paid a lot of money to play football in there now, so.
Next one here, former player Thomas Buffel has launched his own gin. It's called Buffel Gin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's apparently had rave reviews, a lot of celebrity endorsements, and it's £40 for half a litre.
Woofed.
I think that's quite expensive, isn't it?
It's very expensive, aye.
So, certainly, it was all to do with his wedding, and he got a company involved in it as well, and I think it was to celebrate his wedding, so good on him.
All right, cool, aye.
Next, again, former player Jonathan Johansson is the new Finnish assistant manager.
Certainly, I didn't know that either. Right,
he's,
on you go.
He's been on RTV quite a few times and, you know, speaks highly of us, and, you know, wish him luck there.
Yeah, definitely.
And fans' favourite cult hero, Majid Bagheera, has announced his retirement as well, and he's praised Rangers and their fans for the amazing time he had with us also.
Yeah, but another player we were strongly linked with for maybe about two seasons for the last few years. But as you say, going into retirement, he was a great player for us, I must admit. But again,
a partner. He was partnered in defence with Davy Weir, and you know, I think Davy Weir, you know, made a lot of people look like absolute superstars. But no, he was a good player for us. A bit of diehard, as you say, and a bit of fans' favourite. So I know another one that we'll wish all the best.
Yep. Just other football news here. Something we kind of can't really miss out. I don't know what you feel about it, Dave, but obviously just about the sickening football abuse stories that came out since we did the last podcast.
Yep.
Obviously a lot of stories in England, and obviously the quite obvious ones in Scotland here as well. They're finally coming out, or they're beginning to come out anyway. You know, what's quite unbelievable is the lack of SFA kind of investigation before they were prompted to get on with it. Same with our government as well, you know, lacking of calling for a full inquiry. Certain other clubs that have been linked with their former staff members as well, you know, coming out and not calling for inquiries and calling for full investigations and things like this. Rangers, to their credit, which I don't think anybody knew about, that Rangers did confirm that they did have a coach that was sacked in the early 90s for only comments that was made. It was basically a father came out and said that, you know, this is what my son said, this coach has done. Mm-hmm. He was brought into the office, sacked on the spot, and he never was managed, he never coached in football again, and the police were notified. But nothing else was done.
That's the main point that you brought up though, Derek, is the fact that he was sacked and the police were informed and told exactly what had happened. That's the main thing there. We did contact the police and we did tell them everything that was going on. You know, and you know, that's the problem. There's been certain other clubs where the police have not been contacted, just for the, you know, to save the good name of the club. So, you know, we went out there and we did that. And I'm not trying to score points here, Derek.
No.
We've all heard that it's absolutely sickening that's happening at any club at all. And there is quite a lot of clubs have been named in it. I think there's going to be a hell of a lot more. As you say, it's quite baffling and really quite shocking how there hasn't been the outcry for, you know, a major inquiry into this by both the government and the footballing bodies in Scotland. I find that really strange. I don't know if they're waiting to find out what the police investigation brings up first before anything happens. I'm hoping that as soon as that comes out, then there will be an investigation and there will be, you know, something happens. But we're just going to have to wait and see. But it really is quite sickening. And there is a lot of people out there that are trying to score points out of it, because we know, we all know that there's one club in particular that's been highlighted for it happening and stuff like that, which we're not going to get into. And it was pretty high profile. And I don't like the point scoring bit at all here. You know, our club did this, but your club didn't, you know, that. It's really quite sickening for the people that went through it. And I'm actually just quite glad that people are finding the voice and coming out and reporting it now, instead of suffering in silence for years and years and letting people get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, my worry is there was a national organisation which we all pay into if we've got a TV licence, which was, you know, covered. It was obviously seen to be covering up, and they never held any proper investigations until it all came out in the wash. And the fact that they're still even about just now says it all. So
it's incredible.
Makes you wonder what the SFA and what the government, how far up this goes, if that really is the case.
Yes.
It's quite worrying, to be honest, about where this is going to go. So, you know, certainly, as you said, at least it's all starting to come out in the wash now. So, we'll wait and see on that one.
Yeah.
Obviously, in the last episode as well, we did mention Julian Lescott. He was basically ruled out for the season due to a recurrence of his knee injury. His contract's now been terminated with AEK Athens, so he's no longer.
Funny that,
Aye. So
funny that.
Yep. So it's about time we get into the weird and wonderful now.
Oh, here we go.
Man accidentally cuts friend's penis off with chainsaw while cutting firewood.
No, you can see that happening, Derek.
Well, yeah. The 49-year-old man warned his mate to be careful with the chainsaw before he accidentally hit him in the groin. A man's sex life could be marred forever after his pal accidentally cut his penis off while they were cutting firewood. The pair, who are neighbours, were having a few drinks. Well, there's the first fucking problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay.
In the village of Vanatori in Romania's Lasi County before the accident happened.
Okay.
So they were having a swally, and then they decided to get the chainsaw out and cut some firewood, as you do.
Yeah, as you do. The casualty was rushed to hospital, where he remains in a serious but stable condition.
Okay, and have they said if he's made a full recovery or not?
Well, I think he's lost his bobby by the look of it.
All right, okay. So they didn't manage to transplant it back on again then, no?
No, it doesn't appear to be so.
Oh, right, oh dear, right, okay.
Right, next one. You don't really follow wrestling, do you?
Derek, I think we've had this conversation I don't know how many times when you talk about wrestling. I get the same for you and at work as well, that's right into the wrestling as well. When I was much younger, as in when I was about 12 years old, I had a very, very, very brief interest in it, and then it kind of went down. It's definitely no my cup of tea, but I realised that there are a lot of people out there that are right into it, so I'm not going to slag it off, but it's no, we'll just say it's no my cup of tea.
Right. And I take it you've indulged, and I've seen the pictures, you've indulged of putting pictures of your Christmas tree up.
Oh, right, it's going to say, it's coming. Yes, definitely.
Yes, up on Facebook and things like
yep.
that.
Okay.
Well, there was a wrestler, his real name's Scott Hall, famously in the WWE Hall of Fame as Razor Ramon.
Yes,
I've
heard of him.
Yes, WWE legend Scott Hall posts picture of Christmas tree online and forgets to turn the porn off on his TV.
No, that is quality, right, okay.
The 58-year-old American went by a series of nicknames during his ring career, including Razor Ramon,
Ramon,
Starship Coyote, and perhaps Diamond Stud was his most suitable moniker, judging by his Instagram post. And he put a post up, just put the tree up, and it's a picture of a woman getting bent over. That was what was shown on the tree.
So, Derek, the question is, was it meant, do you think?
I have no idea.
As long as his children weren't in the room when all this was going on, then that would be quite worrying.
Well, they were adults anyway, so... But
I remember Razor Ramon. I actually remember that name. Don't tell me what it looks like, but I can remember that name anyway.
Say hello to my little friend. That wasn't him, by the way. Hello?
I've got absolutely no idea. No, I'm just stunned at that. At that impersonation again, mate.
Right, next one. Shocked teen opens sex toy gift from mum in front of entire family, doesn't know whether to laugh or cry. It turned out to be something totally innocent and not inappropriate at all. Now you should see the picture of this thing.
Right.
She would be forgiven to think it was a sex toy.
Okay.
It turned out it was a cup holder.
Okay.
Right, there end of that story.
Okay.
You really need to see it to actually.
No. All right then.
Right, that kind of about wraps it up. Just a couple of a wee shout outs here. I was fortunate enough to get along to Ibrox quite early for the Aberdeen game because I had to sort out a ticketing issue, and I decided to go into the Loudoun to meet a mate. And here standing next to a mate was the one and only Baz Bowski.
The main man, Baz Bowski. So, you text me to say that you'd actually met him, so. Is he as mental in real life as he sounds on the podcast, Derek?
Just about.
Yeah.
I met him, Tattoo Stew, and
quality.
And also Baz Bowski's good wife, Cara, as well. So,
excellent.
Great to see them. Great to meet them finally as well. So I said to him we'll try and get him on a pod sometime, but obviously he's away working, and we always leave it for about 10 months before we do a podcast as well. So.
Oh no, that's excellent, Derek, good stuff.
Yes. And also another shout out to a Twitter guy called Mr. Johnny Patterson as well. He's on it all the time about trying to get pods done as well. I did have a wee bit of a dig at him for getting Cody thing on, and he did have a good retort to us about call yourself a podcast and leave it forever to do one, but we're trying all the time.
It has proved more difficult the fact that we don't work the same shifts and we don't work together anymore, Derek, because we used to be able to get a lot of stuff, we used to be able to get things planned out a lot better before, but it has been quite difficult, but we're still doing it, Derek.
Yes,
that's the main thing.
I will hopefully beat a record of last season of 7 podcasts, so we're on 5 now, so
okay, no bother, not a problem. Good stuff. Right, well, I think that's it, Derek. I've not got any more to add. No, that I had much to add anyway.
Nothing changes there.
Exactly.
All right, thanks for listening as always, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Yes, well, hopefully it will be soon, Derek, but as you just said, it probably won't be, but we'll definitely be back as soon as we can. Thanks, and see you all later.
Cheers, bye.
Bye.
We've got Joey Garner, we've got Joey Garner, we've got Joey Garner. Hashtag Joey Garner, Christmas number one.
Skiving bastards. See ya.